It is May 11th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. I was disappointed yesterday at the ISDA conference when Gary Gensler did not appear in person, but rather by video for his speech to the attendees. Chairman Gensler was rather animated with his hands during the speech, but his eyes were aimed down, reading the text at a level below the camera. I decided to snap a few pictures of him to get some we could use in the future, and I put them together in a video montage, which I shared with a link in today's newsletter, although it didn't work correctly, so we'll have to correct that tomorrow. Gary has some great facial expressions and some hand maneuvers that I thought I would share. He would have been so much better in person, but we had him on the small screen, and this was some of his body language. Doug Cifu, the CEO of Virtu, followed Gensler with a virtual presentation, blaming his absence on a hockey playoff game for the team he is associated with. I like Doug, but I found his speech to be way off target. I thought he spoke down to his audience. I thought he was disingenuous, calling Virtu a small firm. I thought the language he chose to use would have been better suited for a populist Florida Trump rally than an international derivatives group meeting in Chicago. His attack on Chairman Gensler for his equity market reform proposals, blaming them on nothing more than politics, came across as more political than Gensler could have ever hoped to be. Cifu, whose colleague Vinnie Viola was to be President Trump's army secretary before saying, "I don't need this," just read the room wrong and missed an opportunity to deliver an effective response to Gensler. I had to walk out on the crypto panel due to a call from my wife. My daughter's car died on her drive back to West Virginia. However, I was amazed at some of the cognitive dissonance I was hearing relative to the state of crypto, with one panelist seeming to focus on possible legislation rather than the sledgehammer that has come down from the SEC that has even given Jane Street and Jump Trading jitters about crypto trading. It turns out my daughter's 2001 Honda Odyssey's days are done. It was a hand-me-down from my late father-in-law and only had 107,000 miles on it. Kat has driven it for 9 years, mostly to and from college and to and from West Virginia to the Boy Scouts High Adventure Base, the Summit Bechtel Reserve. She is the assistant camp director this summer at the Summit, during a year the Scouts are having the National Jamboree at the camp this July. It's a big job that she has earned her way up to since starting to work there in 2018. She is sad about losing her golden beast. She said it was like having to put a pet down, leaving the car in Indiana last night. She wants to buy a Subaru to replace the Honda. As a Leave No Trace trainer, she gets a $3,000 discount on a new car from Subaru. Scout training does have its benefits. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. DOJ, crypto assets touch every aspect of criminal activity we investigate. From Decrypt. From ransomware payments demanded in cryptocurrencies to state actors using digital assets to circumvent sanctions and other restrictions, the Department of Justice is raising the alert that crypto is expanding into every area the agency is exploring. We are seeing cryptocurrency and digital assets really touch every aspect of criminal activity we investigate, stated the DOJ's Director of National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team, NCET, Eun-Young Choi at a recent conference hosted by the Financial Times. My comment, crypto is the currency of choice for the criminal class. That should not be a surprise. Here's another story from Decrypt. Lawmakers say crypto turf war between SEC and CFTC is a, quote, industry-fueled narrative. A joint meeting on Capitol Hill sought to measure the regulatory gaps in crypto on Wednesday, the criteria for determining whether a token should be considered a security or a commodity highlighted how wide those gaps have been. The topic has been a sticking point for years and a puzzle piece for determining to what degree the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, or the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, have authority over the digital assets industry. My comment. The SEC thinks they own the CFTC. It may be industry fueled, but that is because we have all heard the stories of the SEC arrogance towards the CFTC. Here's a story from Reuters. JP Morgan's Diamond says debt ceiling standoff could cause panic. Report. JP Morgan Chase & Company CEO Jamie Dimon said the congressional standoff over the U.S. debt ceiling and a potential U.S. default could create a financial panic, according to an interview with Punchbowl News published on Wednesday. Panic isn't necessarily a rational thing, the website quoted Dimon as saying. People panic, and when you see people panic, that's 08-09 again, and that's really what you want to avoid. My comment. Maybe another bank will become available for JPM to buy. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. Don't show off, don't lecture how to negotiate with someone more powerful, whether on the world stage or at home. It's complicated. Here's how to do it. Next week's G7 summit in Hiroshima is in part a deal-making retreat for leaders of different status. Each participant's standing derives from some combination of their country's size, GDP, and military might, plus the leader's charisma and electoral prospects. The biggest beast at the summit is always the American president. My comment, great suggestions and real-life examples of great failures. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was Jane Street, Jump, Pullback, Crypto Trading Over U.S. Regulatory Uncertainty, from Bloomberg. Second was Wall Street Leaders Warn of Unthinkable Fallout If U.S. Defaults, also from Bloomberg. Third was The Billion-Dollar Ponzi Scheme That Hooked Warren Buffett and the U.S. Treasury, from The Atlantic. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. Man Group appoints its first female CEO in 240 years. Robin Grew, the firm's president, to take over September 1. Anne Wade, set to become its first female chairman this year. Man Group PLC appointed its first female chief executive officer in its 240 years of existence. Robin Grew, 54, will take over from Luke Ellis, 60, who is stepping down from the helm of the world's largest publicly listed hedge fund on September 1st, according to a statement Thursday. Grew, who joined Man Group in 2009 and is currently its president, will move to the UK for the role, but will continue to spend a substantial proportion of her time in the US. The second story is also from Bloomberg. The headline, Ken Griffin's handpicked math prodigy runs market-making empire. Citadel Securities CEO Peng Zhao left college at age 14, caught Griffin's eye early in his career, and built systems now mopping up market share. Among the tales Wall Street leaders tell of pivotal moments that led them to their powerful purchase, Citadel Securities Chief Executive Officer Peng Zhao's may have been the only one that involves sifting through trash. It starts with youthful hubris and ends with a parable about perseverance, something the firm will need to realize its ambitions amid a slew of proposed U.S. regulations. And then finally, another story from Bloomberg. The headline, Hong Kong Exchange poised to propose trading during typhoons. Hong Kong policymakers are preparing to propose to allow stock trading on days with extreme weather, doing away with a long-held tradition in the Asian financial hub, according to people familiar with the matter. A working group from the Hong Kong's Stock Exchange, the city's market regulator, and central bank is drafting a plan to allow trading as normal during typhoons and rainstorms, following up on a government initiative announced in the budget in February. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.